It's time to learn all you can about buying, selling, financing, and developing real estate in today's market. Welcome to Mortgage Solutions with Tim Halliday, the show that provides you with the information you need when considering any real estate venture. Just sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and get your questions ready, because Tim will be helping you attain your goals in the complex world of real estate. Here's your host, Tim Halliday.
Welcome to Mortgage Solutions. I am your host, Tim Halliday. The purpose of this show is to educate you about real estate and real estate financing so you are better equipped to take on the largest transactions of your life. Yes, I always use the plural because I believe everybody should own more than one piece of real estate at a time. So let's talk about the market a little bit before we jump in here. The market is actually kind of flat today, but it has been such a roller coaster the last few days. The Dow is currently sitting at 17,405 as of about a minute ago. It broke 18,000 not long ago. Yesterday, it was down hundreds of points. So it has just been very, very volatile. The big news is that the 10-year bond is currently not only under 2%, it's under 1.9%. It's sitting at 1.83% is the yield right now. So what does that mean for you and me? As far as interest rates go, it means that they are, again, creeping down. They're like the price of gas right now, which is also insanely down. I didn't look at the price of oil today, but it's been sitting at $45, $46 a barrel. Just to give you a quick example, I put 20 gallons of gas in my truck this morning. And, of course, I had a little bit of an advantage, but I only paid $2.49 a gallon. So $50. And I actually got it for less than that because I have the savings card thing there. So, but anyway, it was crazy. That was a $100 ticket not that long ago for $20 a gas or 20 gallons of gas, or not quite 100, but 80. So anyway, it's a huge benefit. That's $30 a fill up for me on, you know, for the ridiculous vehicle that I drive. But for you, you know, it's the same. It's just saves you lots of money. That money is going to go in your pocket, and hopefully you'll use it to pay off some debt, maybe buy some things that you need for your family, maybe buy a toy, maybe go on a vacation this year that you haven't been able to do because you're saving a couple $100 a month. Fuel prices, same thing. I paid $1.17 a gallon for propane the other day, and so my propane fill-up was under $400. Normally, it could be as much as $800 easily, and over $1,000 at times. So again, that's $400 or $500 that I get to put back in my pocket on that one item. So that is not chump change. That is very significant. In fact, and it's funny because I believe this is going to drive the economy, and I don't know what fool out there would tell me differently that this is going to be a bad thing. It's not going to be a bad thing for anybody that's involved. So here's the funny part about all this. If you are lowering your taxes, if the government were to lower income taxes, guess what? It would have exactly the same effect. I don't know what they're all panicked about. They think they're going to not, you're going to not bring enough revenue into the government when in fact the opposite is true. You're going to generate a ton of economic activity. You're going to get people coming and going and doing business, and it's going to generate more money, more income, and more taxes that are going to end up in the pocket of the government. I mean, it's a fact. It's not even an arguable point. We've seen it in history. When you lower the tax rates, more revenue goes to the government because fewer people are trying to keep it away. Less people are doing things with cash. There's less black market activity. There's more business, more revenue in those businesses. Businesses have the ability to pay tax. They have the ability to hire somebody. When they make more money, they find activities that allow them to spend that money and maybe not pay as much tax, but maybe they're hiring somebody. That person is going to pay income tax and withholding tax and all of that. So believe me, the government will get their due and people's incomes will go up. So because of that, I'm looking for a great year ahead of us at both of my companies. And I think in your life, I think you're going to see that this is going to be a fantastic year in for the economy, for you. And I think for me, it's going to translate into a great mortgage and real estate environment. So if you haven't bought a house, you need to buy a house. I'm just saying, you know, if you're a first time home buyer, you need to get out there now, start looking, start the process, give us a call. We'll get you pre-qualified. That's the first step. Then we'll set you up with your own website. If you don't have a real estate agency that you're working with, if you do, we'll work with them hand in hand. And we'll get you into some property. It is a great time to buy right now. There are so many good deals out there. And it's not, I wouldn't say, and I have to look at statistically, I can't answer this question that I'm about to pose, but I'm not sure whether we're in a buyer's market or a stable market, but I believe it's shifted to a stable market. I think there's a less inventory on the market, which means that neither the buyer nor the seller has an advantage in negotiation. It means that the pricing is actually correct. We're not out of balance. So a balanced market is a very good place for everybody, even if you're a buyer. It means there are bargains out there to be had. But if you're buying, if you want something completely beautiful and finished without a spec on it, you can still find that inventory and you're not going to get robbed for it like you were back in 2005, 6, and 7 when it was a seller's market 100%. And buyers were really, they were told, you know, hey, I don't have to take your offer. There's four people standing behind you that'll buy this house. So that's not the market we're in right now. It's more balanced, which is good. So we are live today, by the way, in studio, 862-2373, 862-2373. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. I will be happy to field your questions. So last week, we talked all about seller concessions. It was actually a great week. I had I posted it on my blog, so you can go to timhalliday.com. In fact, we're posting a lot of shows now, so you can re-listen to some of the past shows. You can listen to this week's show after a couple of days. It takes me a couple of days to get it posted on the website, and I put a blog with it. So if you can't listen to it, you can at least look at the information that we talked about and discussed. So again, timhalliday.com, and that's H-A-L-L-A-D-A-Y, two L's, all A's. Spell my name correctly, and you'll find my website. And then when you go there, like I said, there's all sorts of great information, including all about seller concessions. So next week, we'll have all about what we're going to talk about today on there, which is closing costs. So these are this is critical information. This is information that I give every single buyer that I speak with. They understand what their closing costs are, what every bit of it is, where it goes, why it's necessary. So we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what closing costs are mandated for every loan, what closing costs are variable, why these costs exist. Then we're going to talk about why service and expertise are an important factor. See, we want you to be able to shop for a loan. You're going to end up at Victory Funding if you really shop, because you just will. You're going to find that we have the lowest closing costs, the most expertise, the best levels of service. If you're just shopping price, you may find someone cheaper. I'm not sure, actually, if you will, but you may. But believe me, you'll get what you pay for. So service is really important. Expertise is super important. We're going to talk about why licensing is important. And you may say, well, that's like asking why an attorney's licensing is important. Everybody knows it's important. Yeah, but with an attorney, you can't go to an unlicensed attorney. If they're practicing law, they have to be licensed. That's not true if you're a mortgage loan originator. Some originators are licensed and some are not. That's super important for you to understand. So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about what to look for when you go shopping for a mortgage. So let's jump in. We're partway, almost most of the way through our first segment here. So we're going to jump in with the mandated closing costs. So these are closing costs that no matter who you shop with, no matter what lender you go to, these costs are going to be exactly the same across the board, with a very few exceptions, which I don't know if we'll have time to talk about today. But for the most part, this is what you're going to find. Taxes. Of course, taxes are taxes. So the first tax that you will encounter in New York State, and by the way, it's the only state in 50 that has this tax, and it's called a mortgage tax. So every new loan that's filed in the state of New York, there is a tax required, and it does vary by county, but for Albany, Schenectady, Warren, Washington, Rensselaer counties, it's 1.25% of the mortgage amount. So in Saratoga and Schoharie counties, it's 1%. The lender pays 0.25% for a residential loan. So in Saratoga County, your cost as a borrower is going to be 0.75%. So if you're buying a $100,000 home, it's $750. If you're in Albany, Schenectady, Warren, Washington, Rensselaer counties, it's going to be $1,000. So, and again, it's just that percentage of the loan. It's a hard and fast number, and it's the same no matter what lender you go to. Nobody has an opportunity to pay less tax. It's just not going to happen. And again, there's also it's those numbers minus $25, and this is always funny to me. If you're a natural person, so that is the natural person exemption. If you're not a natural person, you don't get the exemption. What that really means is if you're buying it in an entity other than your personal name, like an LLC, then you would not get that $25 exemption. For residential loans, even if you're buying it as an investment property, all lenders, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, all the government loans, all require you to buy it in your personal name. Until you get to commercial and different types of lenders, portfolio lenders, you're going to see that that's the case. You're not going to be able to buy in another entity. You can buy with another entity, but they're going to require your personal guarantee. So if you buy it as yourself, you're going to get that $25 exemption. And if it is a commercial loan, you don't get the 0.25 lender paid. The lender's not required to pay anything. So those are the exceptions. So what other hard and fast taxes? There are deed stamps. Now, deed stamps are, if you're a buyer, are not your responsibility. And again, like everything, there's always an exception to that rule. In most new construction contracts, the builder does not pay the deed stamps. They require and force you to do that. And in some foreclosure or short sale situations or bank-owned properties, you'll see that they require you to pay any deed stamps. Deed stamps are, it's a transfer tax. Anytime a deed is transferred from one party to another, it's $2 per 500, or you'll hear it quoted more often, $4 per thousand. So $100,000 property, that whole entire tax is $400. Okay. So $4 per thousand or $2 per 500. And again, that's the, on a purchase transaction, that's the seller's responsibility, but it'll show up on your settlement statement. It's just not your responsibility. So what other mandated closing costs? Title insurance. Title insurance is one of those things that is regulated by the state. So even though you may see different title insurance fees on a good faith estimate, they are just that. They are estimates. However, the actual insurance, there is a calculation that is done. It's exactly the same everywhere you go. So there are two types of title insurance that you need to be aware of. One is called lender's insurance or the mortgage policy, and the other is a fee policy or the owner's policy. So the lender's insurance, every lender requires you to buy title insurance, which enables, it protects the beneficiary, which is the lender. That's why it's lender's title insurance, against any title defects that the title company did not pick up on a search. For instance, if there was a lien that was filed and no satisfaction was filed, and the title company missed that, and all of a sudden somebody came out of the woodwork and said, "Hey, you owe me $25,000. This never got satisfied, and I'm owed the money." If the title company missed that, they would owe that $25,000. There would be a claim against title, just like an insurance policy, any insurance policy, and that title company would be required to pay that up to the amount of the policy that was purchased. So if it was a $100,000 purchase or a $100,000 loan, let's say, because the purchase price doesn't really play into the insurance, the title's insurance for the lender, because they're only insuring the amount that they're loaning you. So for that policy, if it was a $100,000 loan, for instance, they would be on the hook to either defend it in court, which honestly, most of the time, that's what happens. Usually, it's not that the searcher didn't find whatever the problem was. It's that somebody's suing outside of what was legally filed. And I'll give you a great example, because this is one that happened to me. I purchased a piece of property a long time ago in Rensselaer County. In fact, it was in the city of Rensselaer. And in fact, I still remember the numbers. I bought the property for $18,000. I was going to renovate it, but somebody stepped in. I was literally on the job site doing the clean out, and somebody came in and said they wanted to purchase the property, and they would give me $42,000. It's like, fantastic. That's a home run. I make, you know, $24,000 without doing anything. And I literally had not done a thing. It was like the second day I was there. So I agreed to sell the property. Now, I had purchased title insurance. So all this took place, and I had a contract in place to resell this property in about 8 weeks. So during this time, I got a letter from the city of Rensselaer that said I owed the city of Rensselaer $8,000. It was eight and change. It was like $8,200 or $8,300. I don't recall the exact number. Because they had a valid lien on the property from a previous owner who had gotten a grant to do some work on the property. Now, the way those grants work is if you do the work and you use the money and you live in the house for a period of time, the grant is just that. It's extinguished and there's no money owed. However, if you lose the house or you move from the house or the house gets sold before that grant is completely seasoned, then that money is owed. So I had purchased title insurance. So I called my title insurance company and I said, hey, you have a problem. These people, who happen to be the government, is telling me that I owe them $8,000 and I don't want to pay it. I paid you to do a title search. You didn't find this lien, so you have a problem. In addition to that, I have another problem. My other problem is that I've sold this property and this person's not going to be able to get title insurance because there's a defect in the title. So the title insurance company insured over the defect. So they issued another title insurance policy, and since they were already liable for the defect, to the other party, my seller, and I was able to complete the transaction. And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story in just a minute. As a Capital Region local for 22 years, I've been on all sides of the home buying and selling process. Buying several investment properties myself, I know what concerns you have, and I will not place you in a home that is more than you can afford. This is about what's right for you, not me. As a servant of the Lord, I am accountable to God Himself for every single thing that I do, including helping you into that new home. To be a good steward, I'm not only a registered mortgage broker, but a licensed real estate broker as well. With 20 plus years of experience, I will help you through the entire process. I disclose all of the standard fees up front to make sure there are no surprises at your closing. Call me for any of your mortgage needs today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700.
Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker. All loans through third-party providers.
Welcome back to Mortgage Solutions. I'm still your host, and I'm still live in studio at 862-2373, 862-2373. Give us a call. I went a little long on that segment. I apologize. We're going to see how much of this we can get done. I can almost guarantee we're not going to finish today, so we'll be talking about the same thing next week. Make sure you tune in. Or again, you can go to my blog, timhalladay.com. Just spell the name correctly, H-A-L-L-A-D-A-Y. And you'll see all of this information laid out for you. And again, you'll be able to listen to this again if you miss something. So what happened with my deal? I was able to sell the property. I made the profit. The title company sued the city of Rensselaer because they were wrong. The city of Rensselaer lost, and they learned that they had misfiled all of the documents for everybody that was in this program going back years. So they were, it was quite likely that they lost hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars because of whoever filed these documents incorrectly. So the city went back to every single borrower and had them re-sign documents and refile them. Now, if somebody had knocked on your door and that was you and you said, no, I don't think I'm going to do that, there was nothing they could do about it. So I'm sure most people cooperated because they had no idea. I'm sure the city didn't say, if you sign this, you owe the money. If you don't, you're off the hook. So I'm sure they didn't do that. So anyway, my case was kind of interesting because it did generate a firestorm. I was the first one that they discovered that was a problem with it. And again, it was because I had purchased lender's title insurance for like $120. So I always buy owner's policy because it's optional. When you get to your closing, the lender's insurance is not optional. It's required. The owner's policy is not required. It's optional. So, and again, are they insuring the same thing? Yes, but there's a different beneficiary. So if there's a defect on title and you own the lender's policy, which you do, or the lender owns it and you paid for it, if there's a claim, they'll defend that claim and it'll probably go away and probably protect you, but it won't help you. So let's say you own the property for 10 or 15 years and then a defect comes up, or maybe you've paid the mortgage off and then somebody comes with a title claim. Guess what? That title company isn't going to defend you because there's no liability for them. That mortgage is paid off, so there's no insurable interest for them to defend. So again, the owner's policy, it's cheap. I always get it. I recommend everybody get it. And I tell my story. Title claims are more rare than fire claims. Now, ironically, I've never had a fire claim, but I've had a title claim. So praise God for that. And again, I had the insurance. So that was something I learned early on in my investing career. I heard lots of people say, always buy title. So I always bought title. I made the title company my friend, and we did an awful lot of work together. Next thing, mortgage insurance. So mortgage insurance, if your loan amount is over 80% of the value of the property, you're going to be required to get mortgage insurance. Mortgage insurance is a closing cost depending on how you do it. So if it's a conventional loan, for instance, PMI, there's no upfront. So there's no closing cost per se that's going to show up on your HUD-1 settlement statement unless you get lender-paid mortgage insurance or a split premium, which is a different topic for a different day. However, if you have an FHA loan or a VA or a USDA loan, there's also MIP, which is mortgage insurance premium, or a VA or USDA funding fee. Those are upfront. You'll see for a USDA loan, it's 2% of the loan amount, and they finance that. So they add that to the top of the loan. So if you're borrowing $100,000 and it's a USDA loan, your loan amount will actually be $102,000. So that 2% is a closing cost, but it's covered because it's financed. So you're paying interest on that for 30 years, by the way. So again, those are costs that you'll see. And that funding fee for, like I said, for FHA is at 1.75%. For USDA, it's 2%. For the VA, it varies. So it can be anywhere from 2.15% to 3.4%, depending on whether it's your first time VA use or if it's a subsequent use. What about other adjustments? So there are adjustments that are mandatory that can be extremely variable, but they are mandatory. So things that are non-escrow, things that are adjusted to the day of the closing are fuel, water bills, sewer bills, things like that. So they play into your closing costs because they will be, if you're a buyer, they will either be a cost to you or a credit to you. Most of the time, they're a cost. So, and I'll give you some examples. If you're buying a piece of property and it's oil heat or even propane and there's half a tank of fuel, whatever the market price of that fuel is, they're going to do an adjustment at the closing table and you're going to end up buying that fuel from the current owner because it's a significant amount of money, less today than yesterday. In fact, if you're a seller today and you bought that fuel last winter and you're selling it this winter, you're probably not going to do that well. You probably paid more for it than you're going to get for it. So if you're a buyer, you're going to get a bargain on that, although nobody wants year-old fuel, heating oil at this point. But water and sewer bills, they're typically paid in advance, so you get the bill. I take that back. Water and sewer are typically paid backwards, so when you get the bill, it's already been spent. So a lot of times, a water and sewer bill will be a credit to you at the closing because it needs to be paid, but it's for use from the seller. So the sellers already use those services and they're going to have that bill because it hasn't come due yet, but it's a bill. So they're going to pay you at the closing. Then when the bill comes, you have to pay that bill, but you've been credited to that at closing. So those are adjustments that you'll see on your closing statements. And then finally, escrow, adjusted as above. So in other words, you're going to adjust things right to the day of closing. Plus, they're allowed to have enough of a reserve to build up for any unexpected increases because we know that taxes always go up. So the maximum they can build your account to. So let's say your taxes are $1,200 a year, $100 a month. The maximum they can have in that account at any one time, at the low point in the account, I don't mean at any one time, but at the low point. So usually that's in our area, it's right after they pay the school tax in September. So your October balance can't be more than a two-month buffer. So if taxes go up $100, they have a $200 buffer so that they can pay those taxes, and then they'll adjust your escrow the following year. School tax is one of those wacky things that you'll see. If you close on a property between July 1st and September 1st, the school tax is a lien on the property as of July 1st because the tax year actually runs July 1st to June 30th of the previous or of the following the upcoming year. It's clear as mud, right? So the school tax, it's not payable, but it's a lien on the property. So because it's a lien, they're going to require that money be held in escrow. And because the bill's not even out yet, they'll usually take 120 to 125% of what last year's bill was. So if your school tax bill was $500, they could take $600. If they take 20% extra, they could take a $600 cushion, and then they'll keep that. And then when the tax bill comes out, if it's $518, they'll pay the bill, and then they'll send you the money back. So that's how they do that. Then town and county tax is due by the 31st of January, but it's due and payable by on the 1st. So as long as if it's coming up, they'll usually require that the title company have that held in advance also. So that's money that can be held for you. So those are all of the mandated closing costs. The next category are variable closing costs. So we're going to talk about that next week. I'm not going to jump into that. This kind of gets into a whole bunch of really interesting things. And these costs can be all over the map, and they can be thousands and thousands of dollars. So these are really important. Make sure you listen next week, and we'll go over those, over and over and over those. But for this week, we are going to wrap up. So if you are an investor, I will tell you that there's a group called the Action Investors Network that meets in Albany at the Century House. And in fact, we're meeting Monday at 6 o'clock at the Century House in Latham. And I actually am going to be speaking there. We're going to be doing a little 30-minute presentation on closing costs, ironically, and what some of the other costs are of doing business. So make sure you stop in. Make sure that you come and see me. If you have any questions, you can always, always call me at the office, 899-7700. We are there to serve you all the time. This is Tim Halliday reminding you to renew your mind daily, stay positive, and be a blessing to those God puts you in contact with. Remember, your attitude and your actions are your choice. May God richly bless you. Thanks for listening today. We'll continue this conversation next week right here on Mortgage Solutions.
To start the process of buying a home, investing in real estate, or obtaining a mortgage for purchase or refinance, call the offices of Victory Funding today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700. Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker with offices in Malta, New York. NMLS number 49846. All loans are through third-party providers.